CliffCentral.com. Good morning, everybody. It's Thursday. What's happening? Good? Ready to take on the last 2 days of this week? Before you know it, another weekend. And I think we said it was like 50 days to Christmas the last time we checked in. I mean, 50 days to New Year the last time we checked in. So it's even less, and there's like a month and a bit. But everyone in South Africa is on a go slow at the moment. It's incredible how people like will, and I'm partly to blame for this too. I mean, who isn't? Sit at your desk and, you know, you don't have a ton of emails. So instead of doing new business, you sit there and you clear out all the admin, and you're not doing a lot, which is annoying because I think a lot of us need to get productive in this last month and a half. And there's just, you send emails to people and you get replies, like auto replies, that they'll be back in January, which is insane. It's halfway through November. You can't be on holiday already.
Dude.
It's crazy, right?
It's madness.
All right. So here's Gugu and Damon. Hey, Damon.
I'm so slow. I didn't know that everyone else had slowed down. I hadn't even...
We caught up with you.
I didn't even notice that you're expanding all these things that people are giving you automated... Well, what's it called?
Yeah, you know, you get those auto replies from people's emails. I mean, look, they might not be on holiday. They might be doing things. But everybody's got, like, company functions now. And you can just sense there's not a huge amount of energy.
All the matric dances have been done already, and they're actually doing exams already, right?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
I think so, too.
No, the year just flies by.
By the end of November, they're pretty much wrapping up their exams, so I think that's the end of it.
I saw, and the matriculants who were going to have their driver's licenses, they've got them already. I picked up my kid from school the other day, and there's this kid in his parents' BMW convertible zooming out of the school. Like, you could see he was like Ferris Bueller's Day Off. You just saw that attitude, and you thought, oh,
yeah, but you remember how exciting it was.
I just thought to myself, gee whiz, eh? I never did that.
You never did that?
I only got my license. Only I kept on failing my license. So I only got it the next year.
Jeez.
But I thought to myself, he really thinks he's cool. And you know what?
I failed school because of that shit. Like being the cool guy and driving to school.
You failed?
I failed grade 11. I was driving to school.
You were messing around.
No license at the time. But driving a BMW as well.
Oh, wow. Those cheap.
And it kicked my ass. Because all I could think about was...
What's your car?
2 p.m. Got to get out of here and jump in the car and look cool.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. It was my car, but yeah.
Okay.
I got a few messages this morning. By the way, Damon, a lot of people have been asking about you.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah, a lot of people saying how nice to hear Damon again. So, you know...
I heard Leanne even mention my name about 2 weeks ago.
Well, probably...
Which I thought...
Probably with a bunch of swear words, but...
No, there was like a little bit of sarcasm, but...
Oh,
of a,
very good.
But I picked it up, I heard. Thank you, Leanne.
All right, yeah. She's not your biggest fan.
Gee whiz, hey. I don't understand it.
Yeah, you two never really hit it off.
No, but I wish she would just sit down and tell me exactly what I'm doing wrong, and I will try and change.
No,
but she doesn't.
You do really care? You guys hardly have anything to do with each other.
No, I do care.
Do you really, Damon?
I actually do. I think Leanne is very talented. I respect her and I want to get on with her. And it would be so nice if she would just say, listen, this is what you do. A, B, and C, you know?
I'll find out for you.
Not entirely.
That's a total personality clash. Like, you two are just completely different people.
No, but I can change a little bit. I can tone myself down.
Why should you?
Okay.
It's who you are. It's one of the things people like about you.
No, but a lot of people don't like me. That's the thing.
Who doesn't like you? Do you have people walk up to you in the shops and go, you know, I hate you?
You know what? You know what?
What?
I just saw, you know, recently that journalist Molani Gwala passed away.
Yeah, Molani. Yeah.
And I know this is really unhealthy and it's not good, but I made it about myself.
How?
I looked at how the country had reacted to him. And
look, I gotta say, it's like a little bit of overreaction there. I mean, I know it's a very unpopular thing to say, but my God, I mean, they broadcast live from his, like, memorial service?
So it wasn't just me?
No, it was totally over the top.
Okay.
And I actually knew Kolani, and he was a great guy, but my God, you'd think...
You'd think Charlize Theron passed away?
Yeah.
Or Trevor Noah?
Yeah.
Oh, so it wasn't just me?
No, it wasn't just you.
Okay, okay.
So it was a little over the top.
Sure.
Is that what you were going to say?
I was going to say that everybody loved him and everyone had this connection with him. And I thought to myself, huh? I worked with Molani as well at 702. I never had this connection with him. What's wrong with me?
Oh, right. Yeah, well, you didn't, though.
Yeah, but it turns out I didn't have a connection with lots of people.
You know, they asked me to...
Isn't that terrible?
Yeah, they asked me to say something, and they called me up. I think it was...
But, Gareth, when was the last time you ever spoke to Molani? That doesn't make sense. They collect for them to call you up.
Well, I probably spoke to him about 5 years ago. But
yeah, but you worked with him in the beginning, didn't you?
I worked with him exactly...
So they wanted you to say
exactly
something...
Exactly 20 years to the day when he died. But, you know, I mean, he was a great guy. I remember... He was my news reader that night on my first show.
When you say my news reader, I saw some people attacked you on Twitter about that.
Like,
Gareth, how can you say my news reader? How arrogant.
Well, exactly.
I mean, really. People are so funny.
It was my show. The person who reads the news on my show, I call them my news reader. It's like, you know.
My producer.
Right.
Exactly.
The people are, everybody's got an issue. Like, everyone knows how to patrol and police everyone else. Anyway, so he unfortunately, remember, Kalani was diagnosed with cancer last year.
2017.
Right? 2 years ago. And then he managed to go into remission. By the way, you know that he was actually sent to treatment in Israel.
Really?
Israel!
Yeah, and nobody ever mentions that, and that there were people who sponsored those treatments, which I think was really... You know, these are the good people in South Africa who go without a mention. And he went off there and he went into remission, which was terrific news, and everybody was very excited to have him back. And then it was kind of a surprise to some people that it came back. You know, cancer is this horrible thing. It has a way of coming back. And I think it just maybe upset people because they'd been through the whole process of him being diagnosed and then going into remission, and maybe that's why they felt like they were part of this. But you know, there is this thing called mourn porn. You've heard about this?
No.
Well, I haven't heard of it, but I can imagine.
So, yes. I mean, it might or might not apply in this case, and I'm not going to give an opinion because I don't know how the people who were involved with him in his business or his job, how they felt, and maybe it was or maybe it wasn't. But there's this thing that happens with people that they get addicted to, and you said earlier they make the death of someone their story. They make it about them.
I'm guilty.
Yeah, and this is what happens to people, and especially in this country, because you know what a big deal a funeral is. For some people, it's the only time they ever get any recognition, which is very, very sad because you're dead. You can't appreciate it at all. But the people around that person, they get a kick out of the attention they're getting, and they make it about them. And I also think it was turned into, in this case, Kalani's case, it was almost like a bit of a marketing exercise, I hate to say.
I thought I was going mad.
It had
for
nothing
who?
for the business he was at, for 702, for Prime Media, because they made it all about like how sad they all were. There were 4 days of goddamn shows, from what I understand, because someone called me and said, would you be part of this? And it was 4 days after he died, and I was like, isn't this done already? And clearly, like, it just strikes me as strange, because there are lots of famous people who have been through those doors, and some of them who certainly did more than Kalani did, and they haven't made a single... Some of these people die without anyone even knowing they're dead.
I mean, no one knows Peter Lotus. I rest my case. But Gareth, as much as I agree with you, Gareth, unfortunately, you're treading on extremely sensitive ground.
Yeah, well, that's never frightened
me. Unfortunately, the majority of people would strongly be offended and disagree with you, which is insane. Yeah. It's like we're stuck in a weird matrix. But you're a better actor than Keanu Reeves. I mean, it's like we're living in a weird fantasy world.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, what are you people what are you people going on about?
Anyway, the reason we got to this is because I asked you how you were, and you started saying, well, you felt bad about
it. I get all reflective when somebody passes away like that. Mm. I get all reflective.
Maybe that's what everybody's going through. That's why they reacted the way they did.
Yeah. Do they ask you to say something at one of the memorial services?
Don't know.
Okay.
Don't know.
Oh, okay.
Honestly, don't know.
Okay.
But it was like, with Senzo Miyiwa, and that was obviously a tragedy because he was killed.
Mm.
But I remember when that funeral took place, it was like the whole nation stopped what they were doing and everybody was beside themselves. A week later, you could have said his name and nobody would have flinched. They would have just carried on about their business, which to me is not sincere. You know, I'm never going to question someone else's feelings because I don't know what you feel.
Mm.
But it's like this weird thing that people do. They get into mourn porn and then once everybody else has moved on and they won't get the attention for being part of the mourn porn brigade, then they stop mourning.
Yeah,
but so it's all very self-indulgent.
Well, you've hit the key words. It's insincere and self-indulgent. It's just so bizarre.
I really don't like it. For what it's worth, and I know that Kalani was at very least a very honest guy. I'm not sure he would have liked it either, but that's just my opinion. Again, I don't know for sure.
Yeah, it's
all right.
Anyway, pretty strange. Do me a favor. When I pass away, Gareth,
I won't make any fuss at all.
No, but if anyone asks you for a comment or anything,
I jumped to conclusions.
Yeah, I met him once. Yeah, you know.
Is that all you want?
Don't make anything up, please. Just you know.
Well, let's do a dress rehearsal.
Look, he put on a lot of weight over the years.
There we go. I would say something like that. I'd say, you know. I remember Damon in the glory days when he was having sex with listeners and describing...
There were two listeners. Please.
And describing those sexual encounters on the show. Those were his best days. I do remember seeing him once or twice after that, but he really did go downhill.
Yeah, don't...
I'll say he got very grey.
Don't call me a brilliant broadcaster.
He got fat. No, I won't say brilliant broadcaster.
Please, please.
Because those words have been used now for people who really aren't. And,
please.
And then I'll say he used to criticize other people on Facebook. So he wasn't always a good person.
He moved more to Twitter in his latter years.
Yeah. And then
his latter years.
And then, of course, he got banned from Twitter, you know, when he had that racist incident.
Only for 24 hours.
And I'll just make up stories that sound a lot more interesting. At least, just, you know, then it sounds like a colorful life.
Just don't go over the top.
No.
You know, imagine my mother calling you, asking you to say some words.
Maximum one paragraph.
Exactly.
You know?
Yes.
You reckon your mother would outlive you?
Well, that,
seems to have outlived everyone else on earth.
Exactly.
How's Naomi Calvary?
Yeah, she's gone more and more deaf and a bit fragile, but otherwise her health's not bad.
Yeah, so how deaf? Do you have to be up close, right up to her ear?
No, not as bad as that. You just got to talk really loudly, which is bad.
For you, that's not a problem.
No, but it's even for me. But where it becomes awkward is that if you're in a public place, and you're shouting at your mother,
It sounds abusive.
People think you're exactly people, and I'm so big and tall compared to.
Does she have a hearing aid?
It looks like I'm abusive. No.
Why don't you get her a hearing aid?
That's a very, very delicate sore point. I'll go into it briefly. My mother. This is what some old people do. She decided to cancel her medical aid without informing us because she doesn't want to be a burden.
But by cancelling her medical aid, she's probably going to make herself more of a burden.
Well, no.
Because now if something goes wrong...
Gareth, I moved to a hospital plan.
Oh, God. But not at that age. She's going to need medicine.
Yeah. Gee, no kidding.
How could she do this?
Because that's what she does.
You should have a
place. It's passive aggressive behavior.
Yeah, what it is. It's emotional.
She wants to make us feel bad.
So you said I'm not paying for that hearing aid.
Well,
old lady.
I mean, you know how much hearing aids will.
I'd say no more.
I mean, I feel like I'm choking. I can't even get the words out. It's like over 20,000 rand.
Jeez.
No, it's crazy.
You should have it placed under
curatorship. I'd rather not here.
That's a terrible decision.
Jeez. Look, she is in a retirement home place.
Yeah.
So that's something at least.
Yeah, but they don't have a medicine cabinet she can raid.
Look, she had the good sense to sell her car.
What's she done at the moment?
Her mechanic, 3,500 rand.
Oh, right.
She had a 1986.
I thought you guys had hit the jackpot.
No. She sold her Volkswagen, whatever it was, Golf, CSL. Hey, don't knock that car. Went up and down to Plettenberg Bay about four or five times. Huh. I'll have you know. But, yeah.
Huh.
So her mechanic actually said to her, listen, yeah, you need to sell your car. He could see, hey, what the hell?
Did he buy it?
No, no, he didn't. He had the good sense not to buy it. I mean, that car was on its last legs.
All right, so that isn't the Calvary family fortune that you're hoping to inherit that you thought would come from the sale of that car.
No, no, that happened with the house 10 years ago where that didn't happen either, you know. But anyway.
Sure. All right, well, I went for the skin treatment yesterday, so I look very red.
You do.
Gareth,
yeah.
It took me a while to actually notice that you do look a bit puffed up.
Well, I'm glad it took a while because I was very conscious of it when I woke up this morning. So I go to this this terrific woman called Christina, and every 6 months or so she does what she calls micro-needling.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's not a facial.
Well, I suppose you could call it a kind of a facial, but it's a very – they stick these needles deep into you. They first of all put this numbing cream on you.
Mm-hmm.
And then they take this pen. It's like a pen, but it's got a whole bunch of tiny little needles
and shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And what it does is it goes deep past the epidermis into the dermis.
Wow.
And it obviously creates, you know, inflammation. Mm.
Is it electric? Is it electrodes?
Yeah, it's electric. And it feels almost like she's scraping sandpaper over your face.
Can imagine rude. That's how a tattoo feels like.
Yeah,
getting a tattoo.
I think that's exactly what they do with
how
tattoos.
How long does it go on for?
No, the whole procedure is less than 10 minutes probably, but it feels, it's agonizing. And
sure.
And then you walk out of there and you look like, it looks almost, let me try to describe it for anyone who's not
sure. Bleed?
What? I think a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't see it while you're lying there and you don't feel as much as you would feel if she didn't put the numbing cream on, obviously. But then you look like, straight afterwards, almost as if you've been in the sun and you put no sunblock on, direct sun for like an hour. So it's like a bad sunburn.
Well, that's what I thought when I saw you.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
And you know, so I've got meetings and things today and I was very conscious of this, but I'm glad it took a little while to catch on because, Jesus, yesterday I was worried.
And the long-term actual benefits of this?
Yeah, so what it does is it supposedly, again, I'm not the expert here, but it supposedly reinvigorates the skin, gets a lot more collagen into the skin. You've got a new layer that comes up from underneath.
Mm-hmm.
Gets rid of the old layer. I don't know. It just and supposedly it just kind of helps the skin to rebalance and almost like have a fresh start.
Do you look more youthful afterwards?
You should try it, Damon.
I will tell you something. And this is not. I know this is not bullshit because I can see a marked improvement. Like 2-3 days after this thing, it looks like I've been on a holiday.
Hmm.
I look younger.
How long
I've
have
only
you been
done,
doing
I've,
this?
I've maybe done three or four of these treatments in the last 5 years. And really, it does help. Like, I feel good about it afterwards. And she clearly knows what she's doing.
Huh.
She's got a wall of certificates in her office, so she's not some quack.
Huh.
But yeah, I mean, I told my sister about it, and she's like, oh yeah, she goes for the, she calls it the derma pen. I don't know if it's the same thing.
Oh,
yeah.
But Gareth, I think in general, I mean, you don't look your age. You don't look what 40, 42. You don't look.
Yeah.
You don't look that.
I'm doing all right.
Huh.
Yeah. Thanks.
And I noticed. I'm trying to look. Every time I see you, I think to myself, I forgot to look at your teeth because I heard you had your teeth straightened.
Well, yeah, I had that done over a period of like 5 years.
But
remember, we had Dr. Flax in here.
Okay, that is amazing. Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah,
I just smiled at Damon like a chimpanzee.
Yeah,
oh, no, no. No, no, Gareth. Hey, you never knew Gareth
Jesus
with his
no,
crooked teeth.
Did you have crooked teeth?
I'll find you a picture.
He had such crooked teeth.
Jeez.
But did you ever explain the important health benefits of it, Gareth?
Well, this is what I'm most interested in. So I used to have migraines. Don't get those anymore.
Wow.
Because when you sort out your teeth, it's a really big deal. You know, a lot of people don't even realize that they're getting headaches from bad dentition.
Uh-huh.
Also, if you have bad teeth, an infection in your mouth can be very, very dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A lot of people used to die from this in the old days because they didn't realize, like, your mouth is a cesspool of bacteria, and if you have teeth or gum problems, those bacteria just get worse and worse, and they can eventually poison your whole system. And the other thing is that you want to get old and have your teeth. I don't have any fake teeth. I don't have any caps. I don't have any of that stuff. And I have mostly quite strong teeth. So I don't want to mess with that. I don't want to end up with one of these, you know, these people who go for like operations in their 70s and you know, have to get a whole new jaw. I mean, that's horrible. So I just thought long term, it's a very good strategy. It's a good idea to do. And these things aren't vanity, I promise you. Like, I'm as much as I don't want to get old and I don't want to die, nobody does. It's more for the health benefits than anything else. Same reason I'll go to gym and do a bit of exercise. The only thing I still have to fix in a big way is my eating.
Oh?
Yeah, I'm so undisciplined about it.
So you're eating the wrong things?
Well, this is such a boring conversation.
Not at all. Not at all. Not at all.
I don't know. I think a lot of people have the same problem I do. I eat when I'm hungry, and I sometimes don't eat the stuff that I'm meant to eat. Like if there's some snack shit lying around the house, I'll eat that rather than make a proper meal.
Okay.
No, but I've seen you eating healthy a lot of times, Gareth, eating veggies and you know, leaves and shit.
I try. You know, the problem is that I also slip like everybody. And then I'll eat something that's not so good for me.
Yeah, but it doesn't show. Look at you.
Jesus, I promise you, I'm at least 5 kilos over, probably closer to 10. I could lose 10 kilograms and I'd look way better. No, but Gareth, I know that for a fact.
But Gareth, you once told me something, you once mentioned you never, ever use condiments like tomato sauce, mayonnaise. You never do that. That is a huge health benefit.
Sometimes.
Oh, so you have slipped.
I remember when you cut out fizzy drinks.
Yes.
Like Coca-Cola and that kind of shit. Now, I drink Coke Zero a lot of the time because when I go out, I don't drink whiskeys or beers or any of that shit. So I'm not drinking with everybody else. I'll have shots of tequila if we're drinking, but otherwise I won't drink at all. I'll drink like Coke Zero or something. And that's not so good for you. Even if it's got no sugar, there's still other stuff in it that's terrible.
That's correct. But it's still better than no sugar. It's still better than sugar.
Yeah. I know. But look, I mean, these are such boring conversations. The point is we're all trying to stave off death and we're all trying to be as healthy as we can. And I don't know that there isn't a person in the world, no matter who you meet, how important they are, how rich and powerful they might be, what kind of a life they have. I mean, there are movie stars who you look at and you think these people must have the most incredible lives. And I guarantee you they are dealing with weight issues or health issues or something. Everybody's got them, right? Because we live in these imperfect bodies. And there's always something going on. Always got work to do. There's always some place for improvement. So it's just a list of things that I try to do.
Yeah. No. The biggest thing is when you see these, like a billionaire who dies of pancreatic cancer. I watched a Steve Jobs video last night.
Oh, my God.
An old video of him talking about marketing of Apple. And I told him, you know, this guy, he just had pancreatic cancer. He died. He had billions of dollars.
Yeah.
And, sure.
Couldn't save him.
Yeah.
And I mean, he was such a smart dude as well. Like, I've heard stories, and I haven't yet watched that movie where Ashton Kutcher plays Steve Jobs, because apparently it's very good.
Yes, I enjoyed that one.
I didn't see it, but I've heard that that's a very good representation. He was, you know, he wasn't always easy to work with.
No, he was difficult.
He's crabby and complicated. But apparently just saw, this is the thing about these people who are so brilliant, is they it's not so much that they have great ideas or they're really creative or, they just see straight through a problem. This is what makes certain people really, and I mean, I'm trying to distill it, and you can, I don't ever read those boring business books that they sell in the shops, because they're mostly all boring as hell, right? I've never seen one that made me go, ooh, definitely need to read that.
No, well, my thing about that is, if you're such a successful businessman, why are you spending your time writing books? You would be just doing your business.
Yeah.
That's my thinking.
Look, for a lot of these guys, they've achieved that, and this is their way of making their mark in the world.
Well, so, you walk through Pick and Pay. This is funny. You go through the stationery section of Pick and Pay, and they're not selling books, but there's Raymond Ackerman's two books that he's selling. And I think to myself, you know, Raymond, you own Pick and Pay. It's like you're forcing them to sell your books, your two books.
Well, the point I was trying to make is that these really successful people often it's just the ability to see the quickest route from a problem to solution. That's usually the most obvious trait that I've identified in successful people. Just that. They don't necessarily the cleverest, the funniest, the most interesting, the most well-read. They're none of those things. They just see a problem and they know how to solve it really quickly.
But now, correct me if I'm wrong. A lot of these guys, when they first start out, everyone thinks they're mad, right?
Yeah.
Or everyone laughs at them.
Oh, definitely.
That's in most cases, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because everyone is usually fucking wrong.
Mm.
Everyone. When you ask, that's why democracy is a double-edged sword, right? It's, as Winston Churchill said, it's the best of a really bad collection of systems.
Mm.
And if you ask everybody for their opinion, you're going to get such a terrible answer. That's why you must never research something before you've actually told people what they want.
Say that again.
Never, yeah, I'll say it again for both of us.
Never research something. If you've got 100 people and you're trying to make something for them, a product, a service, you're trying to create something that you think might work, don't ask those 100 people what they think.
Just do it.
Because they won't have any idea of what you're talking about until they see it, hear it, experience it themselves. For example, if you'd asked everyone in 1900, what would you like for transport? They'd say a faster horse.
Yeah. Thoroughbred.
They wouldn't have said a car, right? So when Henry Ford developed that car, he wasn't going, well, let's get a carriage that can accommodate more horses so we can have faster carriages. And if he'd asked people, they would have said, we want faster carriages.
More horsepower.
Exactly. They didn't know about a car.
This is slightly off topic, but also close to it. What is your prediction about the 16-year-old Greta Thunberg? Where do you see her in 10, 20, 30, 40 years' time? Like, what's it going to become of her?
Wearing a tie-dyed shirt, living in a commune in the mountains with no shoes on, bunch of other hippies, drum circles at night.
Drum circles.
They'll drink ayahuasca every couple of weeks. She'll probably have dirty braids in her hair.
Dreadlocks or something.
She'll be in a
good breath or bad breath.
Bad breath.
Bad
teeth. She'll be in an open relationship with a guy with a man bun. It's gonna be great for her. It's exactly what she wants. And she'll be living in nature. So she'll be eating. She'll be gnawing on roots and tubers. She'll have a handful of nuts for lunch. She'll climb trees and pick a fungus off the trees to make a soup. This is her life. This is what she's going to end
but
up
you
doing. Don't
but
you think?
Well,
have I described it well?
Well, that's the thing. I always try to think more far-fetched. Like, she's going to swing the other way. And then somebody will do a documentary on her in 20 years' time, and she'll be this capitalist, right-wing, fascist.
You think she'll go the other way?
I think she might go the other way.
I think if you're that young, and look, she may be brainwashed by her parents. This is what a lot of people are saying. Some people say
have people met her parents? Like, have her parents been interviewed?
Yeah, they're well-known activists. So
okay.
They've almost turned their daughter into a next generation expression of their activism.
Okay.
This is why a lot of people criticize her, not because she's this brave girl who stood up at the UN and criticized everybody. I mean, that is brave.
But the daughter's doing better than her parents.
Well, exactly.
Because no one's heard of her parents.
So to go back to your question, though, I think she's sincere about this stuff.
But she's 16, that's the thing.
Yeah, well, you know. And I also think the media's gone gaga over her, and it's probably not doing her any good. I saw they're painting a big mural of her.
Oh, they've all been
mural of her?
No, they almost
completely
a big mural in a huge building in, I think it's in Sweden, where she's from.
But they almost completed it. It's to completion.
Yeah, so
it's very well done.
It's very good. It's very good. I don't know. I hope she's happy, but that's my prediction. Up in the mountains. Smelling a bit sweaty.
Just remind me, Nobel Peace Prize, has
maybe
that been done?
Hair on the upper lip.
Has the Nobel Prize been done already this year? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Oh, so she didn't get it. She was nominated, eh?
She could get it next year.
Okay.
I'll bet you they'll give it to her because people are swept up by this.
Well, I mean, this whole climate thing, it's a big thing.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it's a big deal. What do you think of her speech that she made, Damon, since we haven't caught up in a long time? Did it move you?
The content was good, but it was far too aggressive. That's where you lose credibility. Like imagine if Martin Luther King Jr.
Yeah.
Said his speech. I mean, she was more aggressive than Martin Luther King. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She looked too angry. She looked like a little girl that had been sent to her room and she was angry with her parents.
Yeah, and also, yeah, there are people who
But she's 16.
Sure, but there are people who have horrible lives who aren't as angry as she is.
Oh, my golly.
Damon, what are you doing?
That shouldn't have happened. Sorry about that.
I'm just woken everyone up.
Yeah.
Damn all right. By the way, that is a reminder that we've got to get to the headlines for this morning. You want to hear what's going on? Five things you need to know.
Uh-huh. Okay. Excellent.
First thing you need to know is that NUMSA say they will only call the strike off, that's a strike at SAA, if SAA meet the demands of their members. Now, this is amazing because SAA's got no money. It's in the hole for something like a half a billion rand at this, just for this financial
year. After how many bailouts?
Oh, four. So they're calling on passengers who plan to travel with SAA from Friday to make alternative arrangements as their flights may be grounded. So I've got a flight tomorrow. I'm just checking if I hope I'm not on SAA.
Where are you flying to?
Durban.
Hmm.
Oh, no, good.
Good.
This is very good news. I'm on, what is JE? Is that Mango? Or is that
Yeah, but Mango is part of, but Mango's part of...
could be Kalula. I must check.
Mango is part of SAA, Gareth.
Let me just have a look, because that's going to...
Pray it's Kalula.
I'm sorry to tell you this. I think JE is Mango, because I flew Mango recently, and I think you're a JE, Gareth. What does JE stand for, by the way?
I'm not sure.
Why can't they just put Mango on the card?
Let me see here. Okay, I've got...
Now you're Mango.
Yeah, it's Mango. I could be in shit.
Oh, shit.
Well, maybe Mango... Maybe they've separated Mango... From SAA in terms purely of strike action.
We'll find out tomorrow. It's going to be exciting.
Have your car on standby, Gareth, in case you need
to drive down to Durban, right.
Yeah.
So anyway, the Cabin Crew Association, this is amazing. Now, we have the highest ratio of cabin crew to passengers in the world, right?
Because
basically SAA is like sheltered employment for government workers. We have this enormous imbalance. Like Emirates is, 10 times the size of SAA. They've got 50 times the number of planes, for example. But they have a quarter of the staff.
Mm. Oh.
So by comparison, if you proportionize it. So anyway, the unions, listen to this. This is now the Cabin Crew Association. They're demanding an 8% wage increase. And they say that for 3 years, they should be guaranteed job security.
Who's fucking guaranteed job security for fucking 3 years?
No one on earth, right?
Dude.
No one.
Isn't like, how entitled is that?
Yeah, so this woman from the Cabin Crew Association goes on TV last night. I caught 5 seconds of it. And she goes, we demand an 8% increase. Now, I don't know about you, but inflation is less than that. And I remember when we were at the SABC, you would be lucky if you even got inflation rate increases at all, if anything.
No, it was always like either on the nose or just under.
Yeah.
It was never as much as 1% over inflation.
Never.
Ever.
Right. So these guys are just crazy. And they really think that they can carry on. I don't understand why someone doesn't sit them down and say, listen, guys, there is no money. This, like, we're running at a loss. Do you know how that works?
Yeah, they need to trim the fat, actually.
Exactly. Fire them. You need to cut the staff complement at SAA by like 2/3.
A huge margin, yeah. I was talking to a guy who was telling me that. Yeah.
You think Richard Branson will put up with this behavior?
Never. He would have fired these people a long time
ago. No, but isn't he thinking of, isn't there talk that he's going to...
Why would he buy a lame duck? Well,
he said he was willing to buy, not the whole thing, but some of it.
No, I don't think so.
Well, that's what he said.
Have you been following the story of the 6-year-old girl who was abducted outside her school?
You know what? There's so many of those, sadly.
Angeline de Jager, don't you remember this story?
I think so, but carry on.
Okay, so, the daughter's name is Amy Lee. The mother's
Amy
name
Lee.
Is Angeline.
Yeah.
So Amy Lee was abducted outside her school when she was dropped off, and then she was returned like a day or two later.
Oh, of course.
And they found out that it was one of the friends of the parents.
Who's a teacher, yes.
Yeah, they were trying to get money because she had bills that she needed to pay and she couldn't afford them. But it's just basically a horrible story around. And this poor girl was used as...
So what's the latest now?
As bait and shit.
Yeah, so here's the latest is that Amy Lee de Jager's four alleged kidnappers appeared in court and the case has been postponed until next year for further investigation. She was screaming for help and her mom, and screaming for her mom, and they put her in a car and drove away. That's the last thing that that the mother saw. Mm. Can you imagine how terrifying that is?
Shocking.
After initially demanding 2 million rand in ransom, the group dropped the little girl off on a street in Funderbell Park, and she wandered around, 6 years old, until she was found by kind people in the neighborhood and taken to a police station. And apparently she's not dealing with it well. You can
imagine.
No, she's having nightmares. She can't sleep.
Yeah, so the one of the four alleged kidnappers, a woman called Letitia Nell, she's been granted bail. That's been extended.
Oh, she got bail.
And the other three...
She's just not allowed to kidnap while she's on bail.
Yeah.
Those are the conditions.
As long as she doesn't kidnap now, she can stay out.
Okay.
But the other three have been remanded in custody, so they weren't given bail.
Huh.
And the weird thing about this this Tarina Himan, she's the one who supposedly is a close friend of the Diyakhers. She was also their son's teacher.
Good golly.
So she's the one who orchestrated. She was the mastermind behind this brilliant kidnapping of a child that didn't work.
Sure.
Split 2 million rand four ways.
The thing is, how did they ever think that this was going to work out?
You know,
how did they think that this was going to be successful?
You know,
do they not watch the crime channel?
No, but it's desperate people.
They watch movies, damn it.
Movies, crime channels.
It's desperate people. You know, when you're desperate, you'll do stupid things you haven't thought of. It's like I was talking about on the show the other day, those people who fall in love on Tinder or whatever, and then they're prepared to put their whole life into the hands of a total stranger because they're desperate. They want love.
Need.
Yeah, but funnily enough, there are success stories with dating and Tinder and this and that.
Yeah, and those are precisely the reason that all the non-success stories happen, because they hear these success stories and they go,
jump right in there.
Here's my lucky. It's like people who win the lottery. It's not sustainable. It's really not.
The one person who won about 63 million rand the other day, a couple of months ago, someone in the media, one of the journalists said to them, will you carry on playing the lotto? Which I think is a ridiculous question. But you know what the guy said? He said yes.
Oh my
he's
God.
Just won 60 million rand.
What more do you want?
But he's going to carry on playing. What kind of mentality is that?
Well,
you have to be a whole new kind of stupid
and
to do that.
And think lightning will strike twice.
But you've just won 60 million rand.
Yeah. You've lucked out.
You've really, really lucked out to the exponential extreme
but
of human existence.
That's why when people go to the casino...
You do not deserve to win.
They go to the casino and they sit in front of those machines and then they win like half the money they've put into the machine and they go, oh,
go again.
Brilliant. I'm going to use that to win all the other money back and they end up deeper in the hole.
No, the lotto person's worse.
All right. Auditor General Kimi Makwetu has given the National Student Financial Aid Scheme, that's NISFAS, a qualified opinion. Now, you know what that means.
It sounds good, but it's actually not.
It's not good, yeah. Saying he doesn't have evidence to back up claims that NISFAS spent 24 billion rand on bursaries.
24 billion?
Yeah. The financial scheme briefed Parliament on Wednesday where it was disclosed that there was irregular expenditure to the tune of 7 billion rand. Irregular expenditure of 7 billion rand.
Oy vey.
How do you make 7 billion disappear?
If I irregularly spend 1,000 rand to 2,000 rand of my own money, it makes a huge difference to my finances for that year. I don't know how these people are managing with 7 billion rand in unqualified.
But when they found an irregularity of expenditure to the tune of 7 billion rand, do they know where that 7 billion rand went to?
I wish they'd find out, because then we could have people arrested and it wouldn't be happening again and again, but nobody ever gets punished.
Sure. No, it's
and
crazy.
And then Bulawayo in Zimbabwe?
Salisbury.
No, Salisbury was Harare.
Oh, you're right.
Bulawayo, I think, has always been Bulawayo.
Oh, I think you're right. Sorry.
If you know better. The residents of Zimbabwe's drought-hit southern city of Bulawayo on Wednesday are being encouraged to flush their toilets at the same time every day. You know
why?
You know why they do that? Because there's a water pressure problem.
Yeah.
And the sewers, if people are only here and there flushing, the sewers won't be washed out.
Yes.
So if everybody flushes, everybody shits at the same time.
So what time are they allocated?
Okay, so here it is, since you've asked, Damon. Severe water rationing lasting up to 72 hours a week has been imposed on all parts of the city. It's playing havoc with sewage reticulation. As a solution, they've called on residents who do have water to flush their toilets at the same time every day at 6 a.m. and 8 p.m. So if you're going to take a dump,
take it before 6, will you?
That's a lot of pressure. Like, imagine you start constipated.
You'll fill up the sewers and then won't flush out, and then you could have a backup. The whole city's
streets are flowing with shit.
Yo. Yeah. Terrible, terrible, terrible.
Isn't that awful?
Not good.
All right, and then finally from ENCA, this is a story this morning. $40.1 billion has been pledged in investments for Africa. This is interesting because that's at the African Investment Forum. It's 20 billion short, believe it or not, of the 67 billion rand dollar target. African Development Bank President Akinwumi Adesina said that out of the 56 transactions that went into the boardroom, 52 secured investments. And the forum concluded after 3 days of talks. They've definitely done better than the 38.7 billion that they got last year. But this is all for investment in infrastructure and business and projects in Africa. So it's good news for everybody.
What is that amount again? How much billion?
57 billion.
Dollars? What currency?
Dollars.
Yes.
Yeah, but the thing is, you have to be like a genius economist or an actuary to actually understand.
40.1.
To actually understand. Is that good or bad? And where, you know, the spread.
But I just said to you, like, compared to last year, it's up, which is good news. I doubt very much that a lot of it will be spent here because our economy is not growing. All right, Damon, a couple of messages for you. Do you want to hear some of these?
Okay.
Damon, in your defense, it has only taken 50 years, but you've taken the advice of everyone and toned down. You're no longer shouting. Mazel tov. Ass may have tolerated you today. That's from Michelle.
Probably not.
Isn't that interesting?
You think?
Yeah, she would have felt I'm talking too much.
I think that's very exciting that people are jumping to your defense. And then mango is apparently not affected by the strikes.
Okay, maybe that's why they created mango. So if this happens, they can still carry on the side.
Well, that's very useful information. Thank you very much, Brandon, for sending that in. Gareth, there is a huge mural of Greta Thunberg in Bristol in the UK.
Oh, it's Bristol.
Well. I think there's one in. There could
I'm
be more
thinking
than one.
There's only one because it was a big news story that was all over the place. They were carrying on with a picture on the guy with the scaffolding, finishing off doing the final touches of her hair. I'm sure it's only one.
Is she scowling in the picture?
She's not smiling, hey?
No, I don't think she can.
She's not a. Do you think. Is
she's not
there,
a smiler.
She's not a smiler. Are there any pictures of her or photos of her or video of her smiling?
No.
No.
Not a smiler. If that was my daughter, I'd be very worried about her mental health because she doesn't seem to be a smiler.
Yeah, look,
children need to smile.
You see, this is the thing. What she's doing in theory, what the philosophy in is a positive, good thing. But unfortunately, in my mind, it's lost a lot of credibility because it looks like child abuse. She's a 16-year-old. She shouldn't be dealing with this kind of responsibility. She should be a child.
And clearly it's upsetting her. You know?
Yes.
She's very upset.
She should be a child, living a child's life, and I just think it's...
Like, what if your daughter, Alexa, becomes a massive environmental activist?
I would say, not until you're 21. Not until you're 21, young lady.
And then if she protests and sits outside your house for 3 days without eating?
I'll say not until you're 18, because I'm a very soft parent.
You'll revise it down.
I'll revise it down.
Apparently the first case of Ebola has been found in Lesotho.
That's very close.
We need to be careful, right?
That's not good.
Quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
No, that is really bad. Lesotho?
No, it's just over the border.
Yo.
All right.
That's very close.
There are a few questions, Damon. People want to know how the perfume business is.
People have got to know. Perfume business.
Let me interrupt. Do you know where that comes from, Gugu?
What's this?
People have got to know.
No.
You don't know where that's from?
Uh-uh.
Do you want to explain it, Damon, or should I play him the clip?
I think you need to play the clip in case I get it wrong.
This is from Richard Nixon when they told him that they were investigating him at Watergate. And he said, I'm not a crook, but this is the whole speech, so you hear.
I welcome this kind of examination because people have got to know whether...
What is that? People.
I welcome this kind of examination because people have got to know whether or not their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook.
And then, of course, he ended up being a crook.
And it's funny because
Trump
Trump says the opposite. Yeah, Trump says fake news.
Right.
What's it, what does he say? It's a
It's fake news. It's a it's a media conspiracy. There's
it's
no
a hoax. It's a hoax.
Hoax. There's no quid pro quo.
Yeah, and that's it's interesting to see the different parallels. And at the time of Nixon, you know, you didn't have Twitter, you didn't have the internet. It was just TV and the newspapers. Yeah. And now Trump has got all of this, and Trump just doesn't back down. It's amazing.
Someone wants to know, since you called your eldest daughter Alexa, if you have another one, will you call her Siri?
Ha, very funny.
You haven't heard that before. Have you heard that before?
I've heard something similar.
Oh.
Nowadays, we go to social events and there's other children there. And you know what these kids start doing? Alexa, go and fetch the candle. Alexa, and she plays along with it. And the thing is, in our defense,
got an Alexa, it would be a big problem.
Yes. In our defense, we called her Alexa before Google's Alexa was invented.
I can vouch for you.
Yes.
But it would be funny if you had one in your house, because every time you called your daughter, it would go, I am searching for whatever you were looking for.
Well, here's the thing. I was discussing this with my wife the other day. Is Alexa really going to still be around?
Big time.
Is it doing well?
I think these
things. It's not going to evolve and change into something else.
Do you think it's dumb?
No, I just. Maybe I'm just out of the loop, but it doesn't seem as pervasive and as present in my environment and my life and people I talk to.
What do you think?
I found Siri is more around.
Yeah, but I mean, Siri, Cortana is the Microsoft one.
I haven't even heard of Cortana.
Where does
sounds
Alexa
like a
belong?
Beer.
Where's
Alexa
it from?
Is Google's
search
version of Siri.
Yeah, but it's your voice activated.
Yeah.
It's a home system. It's like... which one is Amazon Cortana or is it Microsoft? I can never.
It must be Amazon, because I don't think Microsoft have done something. But am I right in saying the perception is that Alexa is much better in functionality?
I don't know,
because when I talk to Siri. Who is Gareth Cliff? You can go to cliffcentral.com. It doesn't actually say Gareth Cliff is A, B, and C.
Yeah. I think Siri is good.
It just refers you to a website. I could have done that.
Yes, but you know, I mean, we're slowly getting there.
Is Alexa better?
Think about how much more human Siri's responses are now.
Yeah,
and I don't know whether Alexa's a little better or Cortana's better. For all I know, they might be. But here's what's going to happen, and I'm very optimistic about the future of these things, because I think people are increasingly lazy, and to actually type something into Google seems like a lot more work than just to say it. And that's why they also just want this machine listening to everything that they say in their house, because most people's lives are so boring.
But
they're not worried about privacy. And they want to be able to go, hey, Siri, what's the time?
Can I?
And then Siri must just reply, because they're too lazy to look at the clock.
Can I take it a bit further? You know, I'm thinking of these Japanese men with their sex dolls.
Sorry, Amazon is Alexa. That's quite right.
Oh, I was wrong. I said Google.
Yeah, you did say Google.
Oh, sorry, man. Now, can I take it further? Looking into the future, is some clever person or company or whatever going to develop a Alexa-type personality, artificial intelligence, which you got some single man or some single woman, it becomes a relationship? To replace a natural, normal relationship.
They've already made movies about this.
Yes, but is it going to actually happen?
I think for a lot of people, it might be better than... You remember how we used to have pen pals? I didn't, but a lot of people...
people did.
People in the 80s and 90s used to write letters to someone they'd never met in a country far away. And she could be a Korean girl. It could be some guy in Mexico.
Used to find it in magazines. There were certain kids' magazines that in the back page or the front page had people's names and addresses in New Zealand or Singapore or what have you.
Right. And for a lot of people, this would be the way that they would connect with someone, even if they didn't know who they were and they'd never met. And I think it's almost the same. People are developing AI software now, artificial intelligence, which can generate an auto response, but they're getting better and better at making those auto responses seem like they're
more and more human.
Yeah, and they'll get to a point where you were. They're gonna get brilliant. They're gonna get so close you won't know whether you're
talking
to
an human. And you have an option. Do you want a friend who's going to be argumentative, or somebody who agrees with
you
all the time,
or someone like you, damn it?
Somebody who's going to be more romantic, somebody who's going to be more platonic. It's somebody who's intelligent, somebody who's not intelligent, somebody who has sports interests, political. You can actually get this, do the settings according to the artificial friend that you want. How about that?
Huh. Yeah, you'd be able to almost determine their personality.
I want a Jew.
You want a Jew?
It's got to be Ashkenazi.
Yeah, you could say that.
Not Sephardic.
Lee says, oh, shit, I have to work in Lesotho. Oh, good luck, Lee.
Well, it was nice
Come
knowing
back
you.
Safe.
Yeah. It was nice knowing you, Lee.
Cortana's Microsoft, Alexa's Amazon.
Oi, how embarrassing. Got it all wrong.
Getting corrections here. Alexa's Amazon, and you can change the name from Alexa and personalize it to whatever name you'd like. I vote for Gord.
Okay.
Imagine calling your Alexa Gord. And by the way, I'm sorry to even be mentioning that name.
Why?
No, because it fires off people's...
What, people get emotional?
What?
No, it fires off their systems at home.
Oh,
and then
oh.
I get complaints.
Uh-huh. Oh. Now, I thought something happened to the real Gord.
Oh. Just do that again.
Oh.
Dips says, Alexa's Amazon, Cortana's Microsoft, Google is Google, and Siri is Apple.
Sorry. I'd never heard of Cortana.
Yeah?
Is Cortana a man or a woman?
No, it's a woman.
It sounds like a male's name.
You can change
name.
It though, can't
I think you?
You
can set that too. Yeah.
It sounds like an Italian beer.
It does, huh? I'm getting a lot of interesting responses on this. 25% of Google searches are done through voice. That's a quarter.
25%?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not one of those people.
It's amazing. And now I've just set off someone's Siri by mistake, so sorry about that.
Oh, okay.
My Siri just responded to you when you asked for the time. And Cortana is from a character in a game, Halo. That's Kerry in Bolito.
Oh, I've never got into games.
Kerry, if you're in Bolito, have you washed away? Because apparently they've had enormous flooding down there. I saw footage of that tornado.
I heard about it. I haven't seen anything.
Sure.
How wild.
Shame.
That's scary.
No, people were devastated. Absolutely devastating.
And then a lot of people are saying to me, search on your desktop on Windows. I use Apple, so I don't know what Windows even feels
what
like.
What is Windows?
Yeah. I don't even know how that looks anymore. All right, we've got to come back with the burning platform in a short while. Anything you want to throw in before we move on, Damon?
Sure, no, I think we've covered most
Happy?
Things. I forgot to take my medication, but that's not...
What medication?
That's not
what are you on these days?
You know what's funny? You know how I'm thinking of The Lion King, The Circle of Life. I've become my father.
Yeah, we all become
our fathers.
I remember my father with all these different medications.
Do you have a pill box?
I don't. You don't need a pill box because that's only one. It's just in the morning, and I'm now doing four different tablets. There's your blood pressure.
Yeah.
There's your glucophage for the marginal diabetes. Then there's the cholesterol medication. And then there's the warfarin because I had the lung clots.
Oh.
I got to do the warfarin until the end of December. I'm on four different medications. So I've become my father, just taller and not as well educated.
Huh.
How old are you now, Damon?
You're not as well educated as your dad.
And I'm a lot taller than him.
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 40, 48.
Yes, sis.
You thought 40, I looked 48. Older. You thought I looked older.
Yeah.
What did you think I was? 56, eh?
Somewhere there.
You thought I was 56. Yeah. It's fine.
Before you go.
48.
All right, yeah. What do you got?
Before you go, I've got to play this for you quickly. This is pretty hilarious. You know, occasionally Trevor Noah reminds us why he is actually quite brilliant.
He
works very hard, and he interviewed Hillary and Chelsea Clinton.
Ah.
Listen to his first question. This is great.
Hillary, I have to ask you a question that has been plaguing me for a while. How did you kill Jeffrey Epstein? Because you're not in power, but you have all the power.
She just laughs.
I really need to understand how you do what you do. Because you seem to be behind everything nefarious, and yet you do not use it to become president. What is the game plan?
Well, Trevor.
What does it feel like being the boogeyman of the right?
Well, it's a constant surprise to me. Because the things they say, and now, of course, it's on steroids with being online, are so ridiculous beyond any imagination that I could have, and yet they are so persistent in putting forth these crazy ideas and theories. Honestly, I don't know what I ever did to get them so upset. But
this is hilarious.
A lot of them live.
That, straight away, he asks her, "How did you kill Jeffrey Epstein?" That
but now,
gotta be,
but now,
that's just great.
But the thing is, we laugh about it. But then, just this week, I saw two or three tweets saying, "Yeah, it's obvious that Jeffrey Epstein was murdered." I mean, it's
yeah.
Like,
well,
I mean, come on,
it is
people.
Obvious that he was murdered.
No, come on, Gareth.
Come on, you don't think...
Oh, no, man.
Think he just died peacefully?
No, come on. You know, he committed suicide,
oh,
really.
Please. Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself.
He's... Okay, nah.
All right.
I give up.
All right. Listen to this, though.
Conspiracy about me. And she said, you know, I've known her since we were in sixth grade, and none of that is true. And this man looked at her and said, but I saw it on the internet.
Oh, no.
I also think it's because it is a...
Oh, this is funny. This is... Chelsea now chimes in with a conspiracy theory she wishes was true. Listen to this.
Effective. Like, I'll never forget reading an article after the 2016 election where the reporter interviewed someone who had been an undecided voter, and he said, you know, he thought my mom had won all three debates. She clearly had a greater command of the subject matter. And yet he just kept... reading that she had murdered more than 50 people. And he said somewhat nonchalantly, like, I don't think that she murdered 50, but like, what if she murdered two? And so you just think it's this like constant erosion of truth and sanity.
Right.
But my favorite, and the one that I do secretly hope may be true, is that my mother apparently adopted an alien in 1993, and I've always wanted a sibling. So I hope maybe that one will prove
but
out
you,
at some
but
point.
But you know, Trevor, it's you have to laugh at it because it's so crazy. But on the other hand...
Okay, now she gets all serious. CliffCentral.com